clear the stage, prepare the way, cause heaven and earth are singing. Glory, hallelujah, let the whole world sing. The greatness of our God, in awesome wonder, He reigns forever. We know the greatness of our God. His power is endless, He lives within us. We know the greatness of our God.
Good evening, everybody that's hooked up and watching our live stream Wednesday night Bible study. It's good to be with you again. God bless you. I trust you're all safe. If you're, you need prayer for anything, make sure you text us or message us or even call us. You call Terry and Wilma, or call myself or Debbie. We want to keep in contact with everybody, make sure everybody's got what they want. Now, next Friday, we're going to get everybody that needs one a Passover kit. It will have your matzo ball soup, it will have your lamb, the horseradish, your bitter herbs, and the sweet apple mixture called Haroset, and it will have matzo crackers. All you'll have to do is cook your own meal. We ask that you don't use anything with pork in it. We're going to attempt to go live from my home on Facebook Live. And so we'll still keep the Passover. You'll also get your handout of Passover, the service itself. And we'll try to include some grape juice in your kit. We just need you to contact us and let us know how many is going to be at your house so we can determine what size kit you need. Well, you know, I never like to start teaching the Word of God without first worshiping the King of Kings. It's kind of like a horse soldier going into battle without his horse. And so I love to worship the King of Kings. And so in this time when we're apart, we can still worship him. You guys, you'll see the words on your screen. You can sing with us as long as your dog can handle it. Just kidding. Nobody be offended. Moses, Tom, and Janie's dog, he's probably a good singer. So, well, let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you and we glorify you. Lord, there is none like you. And Father, as we lift up your praises tonight, I ask that you would touch those of our church family who are in need of healing in their bodies, Lord God. And Father, I pray for our president, the coronavirus task force, Lord God. I pray that you would be with them, your wisdom would prevail in their lives as they lead this country. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite you, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight. you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see all made new?
Hallelujah. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Glory to God. Give us a thumbs up if you're with us on the text message or on the messenger. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we study your word, we ask you to anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody said, Amen. Now, Friday, we're going to start our class. The class is entitled The Crown of Creation. It's going to be 6 to 8 weeks on Shabbat or on the Sabbath, the importance of the Sabbath. And I think it's going to be really good. Next week, we'll also give you more instruction on how to conduct a Sabbath service. And as we go, we hope that, you know, we're all kind of sheltered in place. So I'm hoping that maybe not this Friday, but the following Friday, you'll be able to start at 6 o'clock, have your Shabbat service with your children and your family. Maybe you live alone, you can have it yourself. But when you get your handout for this teaching this week, I hope to be able to give you a Shabbat service. So next week, this Friday, we'll start at 7. Hopefully in the future, you can have your Shabbat at 6, be done by 7, and tune into the teaching. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah, the 32nd chapter. Glory, glory, glory to God. Remember, we said Sunday morning, let's not waste this time being sheltered in place, watching TV over and over and over and over. Let's use this time to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. Read more of your Bible. Put on some worship music. Worship God. Amen. So let's get started. Verse 16 of Isaiah 32. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. My people will dwell in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Those three scriptures are so chock full of things. But the main thing I want to take out of that tonight is that the work of righteousness will be peace. Amen. And then it says, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. You know, in this age of coronavirus, if we need anything, we need assurance from God. We need our spirits, our heart quieted before God. We need the rest of God to come upon us. We need the peace of God. Amen. The president came on TV last night and with his task force, and they're doing this called modeling, where they're trying to figure out where this coronavirus, how many people is going to die, and he said upwards of 200,000 might die. Maybe as many as 240,000 might die. So we want to do our part. In the natural realm, wash our hands, stay away from each other, you know, use the social distancing. We want to do our part to help get through this pandemic. But at the same time, we want to pray and seek God. Amen. That's where our assurance is going to come from. That's where our peace and our rest is going to come from, God. So verse 17 says, the work of righteousness will be peace. Put another way, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. Amen. We talked last couple weeks. You know, we taught Friday night. I think it was Friday night on righteousness and righteous. Or no, it was Sunday morning. Righteousness it really means being on the straight path, being on God's path, doing things God's way. Living your life according to God's will, amen, and his word. And if we do that, it says that the work or the fruit of righteousness will be peace, Amen. Now, in Hebrew, let me get my little mouse here. In Hebrew, the word that is often translated peace is this word, shalom. Okay? And most of the time it's translated as peace. We'll go to my notes here. Most people believe that peace is an absence from war or strife or conflict. For most people, peace is an antonym or the opposite of war or conflict. However, how many know Jesus was a Jew? He lived in the first century in the Jewish culture. And in the Jewish culture, the word shalom means much, much more than just the absence of war or conflict. For instance, shalom can mean health, security. How many of you know when you have health and security, you'll have peace? Amen? It also means completeness. It means soundness, tranquility, contentment. You know, so many people today are on nerve medicines, mood medicines, because they don't have any tranquility in their life. They don't have any contentment in their life. That, you know, that really only comes with having a good relationship with God the Father. Jesus told us in John 17, eternal life was knowing the Father and His Son. And at this church, we understand knowing carries that idea of an intimate relationship. I use this all the time. Abraham knew Sarah and she conceived. They weren't just acquainted. They had an intimate relationship. Shalom can also mean harmony, quietness, success, prosperity. In the Hebrew culture, shalom can also mean or include personal integrity, justice, or doing the right thing in order to maintain personal relationships. Peace can also mean material well-being. How many of you know that it's a whole lot better when you've got money to pay your bills than when you don't have money to pay those bills. Amen? So it's not, you say, well, Pastor, you're teaching the love of money. No, I'm not. I'm just simply telling you that you have much more peace when you're able to pay your bills than when you can't. Let me go down through here. For Jewish people, the most common meaning of shalom is material well-being and prosperity. But prosperity also means physical health, having access to food, having access to health care and shelter, having clothes. So in that regard, shalom then is completeness. Or one word I left off here is wholeness. Okay? If you have physical health, you have access to food, access to health care, you have access to shelter and clothes, then you are complete in this material world. Amen? You'll never be complete without Jesus Christ. But we're talking about the material world right now. You'll be complete or you'll have shalom. Today in Israel, shalom is viewed as a sense of justice, or in other words, doing the right thing in order to maintain good relationships between individuals as well as groups. Amen. How many of you know when you have friends and you're in right relationship with those friends and you're doing right by them and they're doing right by you and you're maintaining that relationship, there you have shalom in that relationship. Amen. Also in a Jewish society, to have true peace, one rabbi said this, true peace is everything in your life. Now think of your life, think of whether you have true peace or not in your life. whether you have your health, security, completeness, contentment, quietness. You know, what's quietness mean? Can you slow your brain down and go to sleep at night? Or do you lay down and worry and fret about everything you didn't do or everything you should have done or what's coming down the pike? That's what quietness to me is, being able to turn my mind off and go to sleep. But I'll tell you, if you keep your nose in your iPad and your iPhone and your television all day long, you won't be able to turn your mind off. Say amen or oh me. Shalom, true peace in the Jewish culture, is everything is exactly as God designed it to be. Amen? And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Shalom is both a greeting in the Jewish culture. When you meet somebody, we say hello or hi or what's up. In the Jewish culture, they say shalom when they greet you. They say shalom when you leave. The idea of this is peace should be spoken when people meet and when they depart. When you greet somebody with the word shalom, you're actually speaking a blessing of peace upon them. Amen. So, and then they also say shalom after after they've greeted, and then when they leave. Now, immediately after greeting someone with a hearty shalom, Jewish people will follow that with Ma Shalom Cha. Ma Shalom Cha. That's the masculine form. Or if it's a woman, they'll say Ma Shalom Mech. Okay? And what translated into English, when they say Ma Shalom Cha, if you're taking notes, it's spelled M-A space S-H hyphen L-O-M dash C-H-A. All right? Lomech is S-H hyphen L-O-M-E-C-H. Now you take those, so I've said shalom. I've greeted you, and then I follow that with ma shalom ka, to Terry up in the crow's nest. If we translate it into English, it means how are you? But in Hebrew, the question is actually or literally asking, what is your peace? So the question is actually goes way beyond the absence of war or conflict. What the question, ma shalom ka or ma shalom mech, the question is actually, it goes far beyond inquiring about you have an absence of war or inquiring about your health. It's asking, how is your health? What is your state of mind? What is your money situation? How's your life? Is everything in your life exactly the way God created it to be? I think for most of us, we probably got an area or two where it needs a little work. Somebody could say amen, but I couldn't hear you. True shalom involves, or true peace involves, physical wellness and well-being. It involves justice, doing the right thing, and integrity. It essentially means, now watch, it essentially means everything in my life is exactly as it should be. Wow. Boy, I would like to be able to tell you right now that everything in my life is exactly how it should be. Amen? And if your life is exactly how it should be, text me 2 thumbs up, okay? Because I might want to talk to you and get some pointers. All right, now, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth and the Garden of Eden, and he put Adam and Eve in the garden, everything was exactly the way God intended it to be. I want you to turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 2. I don't have the page number, but surely to goodness you can find Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 27. Actually, it's Genesis chapter 21. Or not 21. Chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Mike, don't get aggravated. He only had to turn back one page. Verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Now I'm going to stop right here a minute, and I'm going to jump over to verse 17. God set them in the firmament of the heavens, talking about the sun and moon and the stars, to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was tov. It was good. All right. So God's creation, everything he created, God called good. But now he's created man, and he's given him the command to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Verse 29, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food," and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, including male and female, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. After 6 days, God creates, he's finished creating everything except the Shabbat. And he says it's tov me'od. Tov is good. Me'od, very. Tov me'od, very good. Amen? So, we could say that after the creation of the earth and the garden, and man is created and he's placed in that garden, there was total health, security, completeness, soundness, tranquility, contentment, harmony, quietness, success, prosperity. Everything was exactly the way God created it to be. But then, you know what happened. Adam and Eve are in the garden. Adam and Eve are enjoying the presence of God in the cool of the day, the Bible says. But then sin entered. And turn with me, if you would, to verse 22 of chapter 3 of Genesis. So everything was exactly the way it should have been. And then in verse 22, after they sin, and God is about to place them out of the garden, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." So now, after man sins, because of his disobedience, his rebellion and sin, God has to place him out of the Garden of Eden because he doesn't want him eating from the tree of life anymore and living forever in a fallen state. So now things are not exactly the way God intended them to be. So now man is placed outside the garden. Amen? And God's will for the past 6,000 years has been to restore that original shalom. Amen. For the last 6,000 years, God's goal, His purpose, has been to restore that Garden of Eden, restore that complete and that, yeah, I'll get it, to restore that garden experience where everything was exactly the way God created it to be. Amen. All that is wrong with the world today, all the turmoil that's in the world, all the conflict, all the abuse, all the poverty, all the disease and suffering are the result of that rebellion and sin. Amen. Things are not exactly the way God intended them to be in this world. That's why in large parts of the earth, you can't find any of these things. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here's God's answer to the fact that sin now has had a major impact on the earth. Romans chapter 8, page 1561, if you got a Bible like mine. Verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation, no guilt to those who are in Messiah Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. When Adam sinned, now death entered into the earth. Now death would be a part of his life. Death is now a part of our life. If Jesus tarries, many of us will have to go to each other's funerals. Well, I don't know if that's possible. Okay, probably not. But we may have to go to some funerals if Jesus tarries, because death is a part of life. But watch now. For the law of the Spirit of life. How many know Jesus came to give you life and to give you that life more abundantly? Glory to God. Talking about your relationship with God. You can have as much of God as you're willing to put into that relationship. But it says that Messiah Jesus, through the Spirit of life, through repentance and making Him Lord, He has now made you free from the law of sin and death. You're no longer governed by the law of sin and death. Amen. You know what that means? That means that now that you've repented, now that you're born again, now that you are free from that law of sin and death, if you will walk righteously on God's path, live your life according to what God says, you are now free from that law of sin and death, because Jesus has died for you. So you don't have to fear death anymore. And no matter what's going on with this coronavirus or whatever disease is out there, you can still have peace, because you've been freed from that law of sin and death. Glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it tells us clearly that God is not the author of confusion or conflict. Much of this world is in conflict. Much of this world is in confusion. God is not the author of that confusion. Remember that. God's divine plan of salvation is to restore the original peace that was set in place before the creation of the world. In Revelation 13:8, it clearly tells us that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, God's plan was in place before God ever created the heavens and the earth. Before He ever created man, male and female. The plan was in place that His wisdom would be incarnate in the flesh and go to a cross at Calvary and die. You know, I watched about half of the Passion movie this morning and watching the part where Jesus prayed in the garden. You know, it was amazing. It was amazing the pressure that he was under. But then after he's prayed for God to let that cup pass from him, I believe it's the Holy Spirit comes down on him and he stands up and he's ready to face his accusers and he's ready to go to that cross at Calvary. Amen. At that moment, Jesus had perfect shalom. Amen. He had quieted his soul in the presence of God. He was in harmony with the purpose of God the Father and his purpose. He was content, and there was a measure of tranquility that had come over him. He was ready to go to that cross at Calvary. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You know, there's some things in that movie I disagree with, but I will not nitpick that movie, because if you want to see the suffering of Jesus, you can't find a better movie to get a visual of what Jesus went through. So we know that Jesus, before the foundation of the world, God had a plan, because Revelation 13:8 says that he's the Lamb slain from the before the foundation of the world. Now, if you go over here to Acts chapter 2, page 1493, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter's up preaching. Remember Peter that denied Christ three times? He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death." It was predetermined. They took him and had him crucified, because that was the determined purpose of God. They couldn't have done it had God not already purposed it. That was Jesus' purpose, to come to the earth in the flesh. Amen. And then if you go over to Galatians chapter 4, you're right there in Acts. Jump over Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You'll be there in Galatians chapter 4. Look at verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come," the fullness of time, when it had come time for God's purpose for mankind to restore that original peace, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir of God through Messiah Jesus. Glory to God. You know, I can read that right there. I know I'm not a slave to sin anymore. I know I'm somebody. I am a child of God. I am his son. Amen. And as long as I understand that, as long as I get a hold of that revelation, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to think less of myself. Amen. I'm not going to have low self-esteem. I might not amount to much on this earth, but you know what? I'm a child of God. Whether I've got a nice big home or whether I'm homeless, I am a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I can have peace. I have the right to cry out, "Abba, Father," in my time of need. Amen. Now, God's plan. I want to go through God's plan real quick, and then I want to get to some other scriptures. In Isaiah 9, God's plan began with a child. Amen. And according to Isaiah 7, that child was born of a virgin. Amen. That child would go to a cross at Calvary. According to Matthew 1:21, when the angel told Mary, "You'll name him Yeshua because he will save his people." Amen. That was his purpose. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 20 through 21 tells us that Jesus is in heaven until the restoration of all things. God is in the restoring business. You don't have to look any further than the nation of Israel to see God's restoring power. Heck, you know what? I don't have to look any further than the second row or the third row or the fourth row or the second row over and see the people that normally sit here, and I can look at their lives and I know where they've been, but I know what God has restored to them. Amen? I can look in the mirror of my own life and know that God has been restoring in my life. Amen? The single most comprehensive word for the word salvation is shalom. Because salvation and shalom bring health, security, completeness, content, all this. Amen? Not only that, but salvation produces a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? You're no longer an enemy of God, but now you're a son of God. Glory to God. I want us to look at several verses of Scripture and how this word shalom or peace is used in the Scripture to see if we can glean a little more. You can turn to the Scriptures, or you can just let me read them to you. I'm going to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I'm going to this one because, remember, the children of Israel were at war with the Midianites. And Gideon is out hiding, and he's threshing a little wheat where the Midianites can't see him in order that he might be able to grind it and make some bread and feed his family. Amen? And in verse 23, the angel of the Lord shows up. Verse 22, it says, "Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, panim panim.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Peace, shalom, be with you. Do not fear, you shall not die.' So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom, or 'The Lord is peace.'" Amen. But he said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Health, security, completeness, soundness, tranquility, contentment, prosperity." He's telling Gideon, all this, peace be with you. And he goes on to say, "Don't fear. You're not going to die." Amen. You know, we don't need to fear the coronavirus. We need to respect it, but we don't need to fear it because our trust is in God. Amen? And as long as we're trusting in God, peace will be with us. Amen? All right, let me keep going. Let's go over to the Psalms. We'll get several in the Psalms. Go to Psalms 29. Psalms 29. Say, "Pastor, it's almost 8 o'clock. Well, you ain't going anywhere. You're just going to watch something on TV you already watched." Oh, I probably made somebody mad. Psalms 29. Let's go to verse 7. Psalms 29, verse 7. "The voice of the Lord divides the flame of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, 'Glory.' The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people and will bless his people with peace, health, security, completeness." Amen. Don't limit peace to the absence of conflict or the absence of war. You're going to miss out on the main ingredient for peace. Amen. So I'm going to read it again. "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood." You know, the flood was a difficult time. People died, right? The earth was destroyed. You know, we're facing this coronavirus, but you know what? God is still enthroned. He is still on the throne. He is still, his hand is guiding us. Amen. And he says in verse 11, the Lord will give to his people strength. The Lord will bless his people with peace, health, security. Amen. Let's go over to Psalms 37 now. Psalms 37. We'll look at verse 11 first. Verse 11 says, but the meek, you know, meek actually means humble. The humble shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace, health, security, completeness, success, prosperity. Not only just a little bit of peace, but he says the humble, how many know that God draws near the humble? He resists the proud. It says the humble shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Amen. Quit worrying and fretting and humble yourself before God and allow God to give you an abundance of shalom. Let's look at verse 37 now. It says, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace, health, security, completeness. Future of what man? The man who walks the righteous path. The man who walks uprightly. Amen. His reward is peace. Glory to God. I'm getting excited now. Let's turn to Psalms 85. Psalms 85. I needed this today. I was a little bit down in the mouth today. Oh, Pastor, you don't get down. Yeah, I'm human just like you are. I'm on the mountain one day, and sometimes I'm in the valley the next day. Psalms 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to their folly. If we keep walking that righteous path we've been talking about for 2 weeks now, we keep walking that righteous path, God will speak peace over us. How many know it's important that God speaks peace over us? You know why that is? Because when God speaks, his word never returns to him void, but accomplishes that for which he sent it. Amen? So if God speaks peace over our life, we're going to have quietness, success, prosperity, contentment, tranquility, health, security. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll look up one or two more. Proverbs 3. We're right here in Psalms. Go over to Proverbs 3. Verses 1 and 2. Page 807. Got a Bible like mine. My son, do not forget my Torah or my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Walking that righteous path, include, you know, in order to walk that righteous path, you're going to have to study God's word. You're going to have to delight in God's word. And when you do that, God says, I'll extend your life and you will have peace added to you. I'll tell you, that's an awesome promise. You know, I think I'm going to mark that and read that every day, just to remind myself of that. Let's look at one more. Go to the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 1. It says, in that day, this is page 901, we got a Bible like mine, Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for Yahweh is everlasting strength. Where should our trust be? In God. In God alone. I don't care. Watch the news. Pray for the president. Pray for the doctors. Pray for the nurses. Pray for all those people. Thank God for them. But ultimately, our true trust is in God Almighty. Amen? And the Bible says right here that if we'll keep his truth, he will keep us in perfect shalom. So again, I encourage you, use this extra time you have in the house to study God's word. Amen. He promises that if we keep his truth, he'll keep us in perfect peace. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We praise you. I thank you for your people, Lord. I pray that whatever need is out there, physical, financial, emotional, spiritual need, that you'll meet that need. I thank you for bringing Jean out of the hospital, for touching her body. Lord, Katrina is in pain with her elbows. And Father, your word says that Jesus carried that pain at Calvary so we wouldn't have to. And Lord, I ask that you just touch her elbows, touch her body, heal her, make her whole. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's children said, amen. God bless you. I will see you Friday at 7. Friday at 7.